You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Heat beat the Bucks in game one. I'm not going to be surprised if Miami wins this series. I think that Miami is a really good team, a sneaky good team, because they don't play in primetime. You know about Jimmy Butler, but you don't know the other players. Bam Adebayo, you might remember him from Kentucky, but he was an all-star, and he can go toe-to-toe with the Greek Freak. He has that ability, that strength, that size to go toe-to-toe. Now, that doesn't mean the Greek Freak's not going to go off in this series. He almost had a triple-double last night. Miami has shooters. They have confidence. You have a future Hall of Fame coach. You got Pat Riley in there as the puppeteer. Like, this is a really good team, dangerous team, and one that Milwaukee cannot look at like take lightly like maybe they did the Orlando Magic. After the Magic took game one, I don't think anybody said, uh-oh, Milwaukee's in trouble. Milwaukee misses Eric Gordon. You got to have him in there. Or Eric Bledsoe, I should say. You got to have him in there. And having that third option. You know, Jimmy Butler went for 40 last night. And, you know, Jimmy Butler after the game was interviewed, and he's like, I'm not bringing any family into the bubble. I'm here for business. Now, he could bring family in, but he said, I'm down here to do a job. Man, I love that. I don't know how his family felt, but I did love that. He says, I'm here for business. And you saw that last night. Now, the Greek Freak became just one of a handful of players in NBA history to win Defensive Player of the Year and the MVP in his career. Two have done it in the season, same season, Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon. And he has a great chance of winning a second MVP this season. But the Heat don't seem to care. They came out and they punched the Bucks in the mouth last night. And you had Bam, you had, hanging in there against Giannis, Jimmy Butler. Once again, he's a playoff finisher for Miami. And the Heat made it very difficult from the opening whistle for the Greek Freak. Didn't get as many free runs at the rim. And it's going to put a whole lot of pressure on that supporting cast with Milwaukee. And they miss Bledsoe. But it's not going to be easy. The Greek Freak has to step up in the series and prove why he is the NBA's most valuable player. Or the Bucks are going to leave the bubble a lot sooner than a lot of people expected to. This program is brought to you by LegalZoom. Need to make it legal? Make it LegalZoom.com. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. McLevin, do you have a poll question for me?
So we've been putting together this list of the least buzzed about team in the NFL. I know it's totally random. I'm hitting you there. So I have that, and I have another option. One of the degenerates in the back just gave me the updated championship betting odds for the NBA. So I have two questions. I'll give you $100. Which of these teams are you betting on, and who is the least buzzed about NFL team?
Okay.
Which one do you want to start with?
Let me start with basketball since we were on that topic. By the way, here is Chris Paul after the win last night.
For our team, bubble life is different. You know, when you are sort of on the ropes like that, down 3-2, like you got to pack. They have you pack and be ready for just in case you have to leave the next day. You know, so, you know, we're not ready to go yet. You know, and our team, we have had a memorable season, a lot of ups and downs and all that, and we just going to continue to fight. We wouldn't have it any other way.
28 points. He had a couple big free throws down the stretch there as they live to see a game seven. All right, McLevin.
Okay, so as I mentioned, the degenerate in the back, who goes by Dylan, handed me this slip this morning. He said, here's the updated odds. The Clippers and Lakers are both favorites at plus 260. Then you go Bucks, Celtics, Raptors, and the Heat are plus 1,200.
Okay.
Paulie can explain how much that wins, but that's pretty good. It's a pretty good bet. If you put $100 on that, you could really clean up. Is that the team you would pick as the possible upset? Or some of the other choices, the Rockets are big money. The Raptors are big money. The Celtics are pretty good money. And the Nuggets and Jazz are both big long shots.
Well, when the series started between the Thunder, well, when the playoffs were getting ready to start, I like the Rockets with an outside chance here. Just if all goes well, then they're very difficult to beat. But the question is, will it all go well to win four games in a series? And that's the big question mark we always have with the Rockets. Can they do this where they can win four games? Can they have an off night and still win a game? Which great teams have off nights in the postseason and still win games. The Rockets usually don't do that. I like the Miami Heat a lot. I'm not saying they're this year's Toronto Raptors, but there is a feel around them. And just my opinion. Okay? And I've felt this way. I went out of my way to watch them this year because I just, you know, once you start to see a team, that's a true team. Not necessarily star-driven. Even Jimmy Butler, not a star. He's a great player. He's not a star. And then you have these role players. And Bam Adebayo became an all-star, but people probably don't even realize that. I would probably go with the Miami Heat. Now, they may lose the next four to Milwaukee. But I do, and said this yesterday, they are dangerous. And you saw that last night. Yeah, McClellan.
How about the Boston Celtics sitting there at plus 650?
That I would go like the Heat too. Or the Celtics if I was going to try to make some money.
But can either of those teams like win the whole thing, or is this just to get out of the East we're talking about?
Probably get out of the East, but you know, we didn't think Toronto was going to win. Now, they had Kawhi, but we didn't think they had the supporting cast, or you know, how would that supporting cast match up? Granted, they were helped out with injuries with Golden State, but who knows how this works out? You know, we're just dipping our toe. We're not even through the first round of the postseason yet. So there's a whole lot of basketball left to be played. But what I saw last night, Oklahoma City, you thought they were in a rebuild. They're not. And with the Miami Heat, they're not afraid of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Got the news yesterday when we came into work that John Thompson had passed away, and immediately reached out to Patrick Ewing just to offer my condolences. The Georgetown head coach and former National Player of the Year joining us on the program. Patrick, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Dan. You know, of course, I have a heavy heart. We lost a great man, a great friend, a great role model, a father figure. He was my second dad. So I'm definitely feeling that pain, but also, you know, I think we should celebrate his life and the things that he had accomplished. You know, he's a man that, you know, he wasn't just a basketball coach. He stood for something. He stood for, you know, all the racial injustice things that are going on in this country. He's been fighting that fight for his entire life. And, you know, I think that, you know, we need to celebrate, and I need to celebrate his accomplishment instead of mourning our loss.
When was the last time you spoke to him?
I saw him on Friday. I went to his home, and he had been ill for a while now. And I had the opportunity to go to his house and sit there and talk and joke and laugh with him. And, you know, and I was able to say my goodbyes. You know, like I said, you know, he is a person that has always been there for me, not only as my coach, but also as my confidant, my father figure. Even though my father was always there, he was just another person that was that close to me that I cared about deeply.
What was it like that first time you met him?
You know, it's funny. The first time I met him, I was 17 years old. Myself, my mother, my dad, Coach Jarvis, we were all there, at my high school. He, you know, the way that he spoke, the way that he carried himself, I'm sitting there with my mouth wide open thinking about, man, this man can, you know, he really can talk. And he was someone that I could look up to and even try to emulate as I got older. And that's what I've been trying to do.
Did you understand at the time how he was protecting you by keeping you away from the media? Like your freshman year, every time I went to Georgetown to do a story on Georgetown, I never got to talk to you, Pat. I always got to talk to Coach Thompson, and that was it.
Well, you know, he had a rule, and the rule, it was there before I got there. But it just got that much notice on it because of me. And he had a rule that freshmen couldn't talk until I think it was after January. But, you know, I love the fact that he took the hit for me. There was even a lot of times when he wanted me to do the interviews, and I really didn't want to do them. So a lot of them he made me do, and some of them he took the hit, for me.
We had Jim Boeheim on yesterday, and he said, you look at the impact that Coach Thompson had, it's not just on his players, but also on fellow African-American coaches getting an opportunity. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, is to celebrate John. But that impact that he had on just you guys, it was us against the world. Like he had told you guys, it's us against the world. Did you guys truly believe it was us against the world at Georgetown?
Oh, definitely. if you look back at all the things that was wrote about us, they were all negative. Not all, but most of them was negative. You know, so it made us feel it was us against the world. When you do things your way, and you know, you tend to rub a lot of people, you know, the wrong way, unfortunately, you know, or, you know, people have always had misdiagnosed, or they think what they want to think about you. They have preconceived notion about you. So, you know, they tend to run with that. You know, Coach Thompson was a great man. He stood for a lot of great things, and you know, we played our way. We wasn't going to take any crap from anybody. We're going to kick your butt, take names, and move on.
Did he have a sense of humor?
Yes, he sure did. You know, you don't see it, or a lot of people from the outside very rarely see it. But, you know, it's funny. There were times, you know, we listened to music before the games, or in there dancing, getting ready, you know, getting ourselves psyched up, and he'll come in there from time to time, start doing his little two steps, you know, and start cracking us up. But no, he did have a sense of humor, but he picked and chose when to lighten the mood, or you know, to just give us a laugh.
What role did he play in you taking the Georgetown job?
He was a huge part. You know, when his son had just been let go. And I was mourning that. I was, you know, disappointed in the fact that, you know, the school had let JT3 go. And, you know, a couple of days later, him calling me and telling me that, you know, you need to try to apply for this job. You need to call President DeGioia and to lobby to get this, to have an opportunity to interview for this job. And I told him I wasn't sure, you know, I wasn't sure that I wanted to coach in college, because for 15 years I've been trying to be a head coach in the NBA. And he said, you've been trying to get one for 15 years and they haven't given you an opportunity yet. It's time you try a different venue or a different avenue. And I thought about it, talked to, you know, people who are my confidant in the NBA, talked to Jeff Van Gundy, Stan Van Gundy, Steve Clifford. And they're like, he's right. You know, you need to, you know, try and see if you can get it. So I reached out to the president, and I was granted an interview, and here I am today. So if it wasn't for him and his words, and this is a person that he had just lost, you know, his son had just been fired. And, you know, he told me that he's like, look,
did you ever
we need to have one of our own in the job.
Did you ever play pickup with John Thompson?
No, come on now. Even though when I first came there, he was a lot younger. I was too athletic for coach. Even though when he talks about his days of playing for Providence and in high school, he always talks about all the great the great numbers that he used to put up.
I also remember when you were with Coach Thompson with President Reagan at the White House. What do you remember about that day at the White House with Coach?
It was great. This is my first time meeting a president. You know, being at the White House, you know, the most powerful house in our nation. And sitting here, I'm sitting here meeting the president of the United States. I was 20. I'm like, oh my God.
But you have your uniform on the White House, and President Reagan and John have their suits on. Did you drive in with your basketball uniform on?
I think I had it on. I had it on under my clothes. I had to take it off and my clothes off to have my uniform on. So, you know, that was my job. They were doing their job, and I was doing my own.
Clear up a story if you can. When you played in the national title game and you goaltended like the first four or five shots, did Coach Thompson instruct you to goaltend?
Come on, Dan.
I'm just asking. It's just the last time.
As my friend, you know that I would say two of those were goaltending. But he told me to block everything that comes in the paint, and I did my best to do that.
What do you make of what's going on in the bubble? You watching the NBA?
I've been watching it from time to time. I think the guys are doing an outstanding job of playing, but also using their platform. I thought it was great when they boycotted those, you know, for the those games. You know, it shows that the power that they have. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to help to make a change, but at least it brought attention to it. And, you know, the social injustice that's been going on in this country, even in the world, it needs to stop. You know, we need to see each other as humans. You know, it's funny. Lewis Orr, he's on my staff. We played with each other with the Knicks. And he's a religious man. So he's the chaplain of our team. And I keep talking to him about it. I said, you know, in the Bible they said there's gonna be judgment day. But with all the, and I keep asking, with all the negative things that's going on in this world, judgment day needs to hurry up and come. 2020 has been rough on, you know, the whole world. But, you know, Coach meant a lot. He fought a lot.
Well, he was doing this back in the 80s, Patrick. Right. I mean, he was literally standing up. And not a lot of other people were standing up with him.
When he first started, when he first came here at Georgetown, he was fighting. He was fighting for his equality and his opportunity. And he's done an outstanding job. And, you know, like I said before, he was a person when I first met him, I thought that this was the person that, you know, you should emulate. And he's the person that I've been trying to emulate. You know, some of the things he's done, I don't agree with, but, you know, that's life. There's a lot of things that your mother and father do that you don't agree with, but you respect them. And, you know, I believe in him, and I will follow him right. I will follow him to right through that door.
I like the shirt you got on, John Thompson raising his right fist there. That's powerful, seeing Coach there.
Yes, you know, like I said, it's a celebration of life. I want to celebrate his life. He's done an outstanding job at Georgetown. His legacy is set in stone, and I think that myself, Alonzo, Dikembe, AI, you know, all the guys that have played for him, John Duren, Craig Shelton, we're part of his legacy. The things that we do going forward is only going to help continue to cement the things that he was all about.
Planning on coaching basketball this year?
Well, I'm hoping things, you know, whenever it starts. You know, my guys are still not on campus. You know, we're still they're still at home studying virtually. But whenever the school gives us the okay, and we have a plan to socially distance, and, you know, there's no one else on campus. So, you know, hopefully when they give us the word that we can get out and play, we'll be ready.
Is that your office that you're sitting in?
Yes, it is.
I mean, you got to dress it up a little bit, Patrick. I mean,
well, you know, I didn't think that I would never really use this office if there wasn't a pandemic. I would usually be at school. Only time I would come in here is to drop packages off and go out or go about the rest of my day. But, you know, and also, you know, I can't be like you. You have too much stuff in your desk.
I know. I'm a hoarder. I keep everything, Patrick.
I am as well, but it's all over the house. It's not just in here.
Can you fit into the old Georgetown uniform?
No. back then I was about 220. Right now, I'm 290.
You could lean on Shaq right now.
I doubt it. No. I couldn't lean on him when I was in shape. He's a lot bigger than I am.
Oh my God, he's the biggest man I've ever been around. Him and Mark Eaton and Yao Ming are the two. They're huge. Like you don't realize how big is.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, when you and I stand together, you're looking up at me. When I'm standing next to Yao, that's how I'm looking up to him. So I know how big both all those guys were.
Yeah. You're doing okay? I know you had coronavirus a couple months ago, but you're doing all right?
I'm doing a lot better. You know, it affected me both mentally and physically, but I'm past that stage. And, you know, right now it's all about, you know, getting my mind and my players and back together and also celebrating this loss that we had.
How did it affect you mentally?
You just don't feel yourself. You know, I really can't describe it. You just really don't feel yourself. And it took about a month after, you know, I quarantined and got out of the hospital for me to start feeling myself again.
It's great to see you. And I know under these circumstances, but I did want to celebrate Coach and wanted to give a whole new generation an idea of just why this man was so special with what he did as a person, as a coach, as a man. But thanks for joining us, Pat.
No, as always, Dan, it's always great to come on your show. And yes, like I said before, this is a celebration of his life. His legacy is untouched, and, you know, we're going to continue this process.
Thank you, Coach.
My pleasure.
That's Patrick Ewing, the Hall of Famer, Georgetown head coach.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There have been a lot of unexpected sports headlines this year, but this is one of the stranger ones. The San Diego Padres are all in. They think they can win the World Series. How often have we said that? Padres added Mike Clevinger. He's a starting pitcher, a reliever, Trevor Rosenthal, and a couple extra bats during prior to the trade deadline. And the Padres haven't been in the postseason since 2006. They've been in the World Series twice. They lost to the Tigers in 84. They were swept by the Yankees in 98. None of that history matters in 2020. In a short season with strange rules and a wide open field, 16 teams are going to make the playoffs. In baseball, once you get in, all bets are off. So it might be weird saying the Padres are contenders, but they are. Young stars like Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, this might not be a fluke here. If you were considering jumping on the Padres bandwagon before the trade deadline, you might have missed your window here because it's getting more crowded by the day. Now, they have been dealing a lot of players. They dealt two of their top 15 prospects, but right now, 20-15, third best record in the National League. And you get Clevinger and Rosenthal, that's going to help you. Moreland from the Red Sox here. I went back and I was trying to figure out how the Padres got Fernando Tatis Jr. They traded James Shields to the White Sox, I believe, and they got the rights to Fernando Tatis Jr. That's going to be one of those deals that we look back on and go, oops. It's like Doyle Alexander and John Smoltz. The Braves dealt Doyle Alexander the Tigers, and the Braves got John Smoltz. Yes, Paul.
I was watching MLB Network, and they said the Padres, it seems like they traded their entire farm system, but based off the baseball rankings, they didn't trade any of the top 10 players in their farm system during this mass trade.
They made six deals with five teams involving 23 players and three players to be named later. I love it. They're all in. Yes, McLevin.
I have one of those bad trades, by the way, as a Phillies fan. You could probably guess. Paulie knows this one.
Is this Ryan Sandberg?
Yes.
Ivan De Jesus?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Does every team have one of those? Or?
I think so. Either really good or really bad. Because you can look back and, you know, when you look back on sports history, on deals that were made or not made that really helped a team, or draft picks that were made or not made that really helped or hurt a team. And it feels like every team has that moment where they ripped off somebody, but then they got ripped off as well. And I'm sure this audience is going to remind us of, you know, some of those other deals. Wasn't Rick Sutcliffe traded for Joe Carter?
With Cleveland or something?
Yeah, I think so. I know that Ricky Henderson was involved in deals. Wasn't he involved in a deal that sent Jeff Kent to the Mets from Toronto? And Jeff Kent's a borderline Hall of Famer. Ricky obviously already, you know, he is a Hall of Famer. But there's so many of those deals where you're always looking for the guy who helps you now, and then you trade away your future. And then that future comes back to haunt you.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Jason Jackson, he covers the Miami Heat. And Miami Heat with a big win last night with my guy Jimmy Butler was great in the fourth quarter. He had 40 points, including 15 in that dominating fourth quarter. And they take game one from Milwaukee. Jay Jax, good to talk to you again. I've talked about Pat Riley with what he's done with this team, building it. I think that Eric Spoelstra is going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. Tyler Hero comes from Kentucky. Duncan Robinson from Division III to Michigan and now becoming one of the better shooters in the game. But Pat Riley has done a brilliant job building this team. How would you explain it?
I'll tell you two quick stories about each. They're super cool. Chet Kemmer, who is right now he's like scout emeritus, but he's been with Pat, a high level executive with the Heat for the majority of, if not all of these 25 years with the Heat. And he went and saw a workout at Michigan for Robinson. And the majority of it was shooting, obviously. And I believe he didn't even get to his car before he was in Spo's ear, like, we have got to get this kid. Like, this was one of the most amazing shooting performances I have ever seen. Now, Chet had seen everybody, all right? He saw everybody back to when guys were dribbling with one hand behind their back. And so the fact that the Heat are willing to go that deep and find the guy that's not even drafted, that's no one's really clamoring for. And to Duncan's credit, he bought in, did the summer league route, got to the G League team, got the two-way deal, came into camp this year hoping for a rotation gig, ends up starting. As for Tyler Hero, listen, he was blue chip. He was, you know, made all of Wisconsin cry when he decided to go to Kentucky and was great his first year. I do some fundraising for Coach Cal, you know, back when he would join us back in the ESPN days, came friendly, and each summer I go to Lexington. But that summer, I guess it would have been two summers ago, Kentucky had their international trip in the Bahamas. So we went, and I remember calling back to my boys, Justin and Jordan, because they follow all these high school phenoms. I'm like, who is this kid from Wisconsin? And I rolled the R because I've been in Miami so long. Who's this Henro? Here in the Bahamas. And my son Jordan goes, Dad, it's Hero. And that dude can ball. And I mean, he was in this gym, Dan. And I mean, against national teams, grown men bouncing all over the place, dunking on dudes, the flair and the pizzazz he carried through. It's been a long, long time since I've seen a rookie have so little concern about what he did not know and just went out and played basketball. It's amazing to watch.
He's Jason Jackson, Miami Heat TV host, joining us on the program. And we worked together at the Mothership a long time ago. You remember your first SportsCenter?
I do. And it was an accident. Somebody called in sick. I can't remember who.
Was it Big Show Bob Stevens who called in?
No, that Bob was not there yet.
Okay. All right.
That is phenomenal shout out. No, I was on with, it was a 6 o'clock Sports Center. Because, you know, when you first come in, they make you sit for 2 weeks and watch Sports Center.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just watching television.
Did you enjoy watching me?
I always did. But again, this was the 6:30 edition or 6 o'clock at that point.
Yeah.
And it was Susie Galber, yours truly, and Bob Lee.
Ooh.
And I was over on that side set, so they only had me on, I believe, like twice in the whole hour. But it, as you remember, sitting down that first time, first of all, you're like, why am I here? And please don't bleep up. That's all you're thinking. I did that for a year at 2:30, though. A lot of bleeping up for a year.
Yeah.
Thank God for ESPN News. Got me a lot of reps for a year. And people like yourself. And you know who, like, on the set was really, really key to me? Just like getting my feet solid on the ground each night was actually Craig Kilborn. And it's funny, a lot of people could see him as maybe not the best teammate or worried about his stardom over the.
And they would be correct, Jason.
Well, for you. For you. Because coming to the big show, baby, everybody's trying to throw their biggest punch and just hang with you.
How did Kilborn help you?
But he was like, just in condensing the idea of sitting there, the enormity of it, of the simplicity of how to get stuff done. Obviously, Stuart and Scott and I were extremely close, and I got a lot of shots before a lot of the ESPN2 folks did, and that did not go well for a lot of people. But
now, Jason had a cubicle outside of my office.
Oh, you mean your secretary?
You would have been my secretary. But one day, I decided that I wanted to put another TV monitor in my office because I was doing all these blind highlights, the 11 o'clock Sports Center. I wanted to see more games while I'm writing the show. So management wouldn't give me another TV monitor. So I went out and I stole Jason's, and he came in that day and he goes, well, where's my monitor? You seen my TV? I've got it in there in my office with my door shut. And I was like, let's find that. Let's find
it. And by the way, a little tiny monitor.
I know. I don't know if I ever told you that I stole your monitor, but I was Sherlock Holmes. I was going to find that monitor. I don't know who has it, but the statute of limitations is over with that.
Let's call engineering and get this kid another monitor. This is ridiculous.
What kind of buzz do we have on South Beach for Tua Tagovailoa?
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank goodness there's a curfew over there because it can get buzzy, as you well know. The joy of just having something that is – I want to be respectful of everyone in between Marino and this young man here, professional quarterbacks that have been a long way. Bless his heart, Ryan Fitzpatrick's mother passed, and so he was away for this first scrimmage. And the Dolphins, I don't quite get the marketing aspect of this, but they didn't allow any video from their first scrimmage. Ooh. And obviously no fans were there, but a lot of buzz about the young fella. He obviously can sling it. He's got a great personality. He's embraced this place. Dan, you know the deal. W's. Like there is, it's funny about this place. It's been a long time since the Dolphins have been expectant of W's. But the thing that will change on a dime in this town, the team I work for has been winning consistently for the whole time I've been here. I'm about to wrap up my 16th season with the Heat. But the second, and I think it's only happened once in my time, the second the Dolphins were in the playoffs, everybody went, oh, nice job, Heat. And they're gone, right to all things Dolphins. And so all it's going to take is this young fella under center getting some wins and an idea of the possibility of the postseason, and everybody's going to go nuts. But the one thing about this place is there's, as you know, Dan, there's plenty to do. So you better grab people's attention. And the only way to do it in Miami is with winning.
What do you miss about covering LeBron?
That's a really good question. I so enjoyed it. I wanted to so bad, Dan, because like you and me, he's from the great state of Ohio. And I wanted that connection, and I wanted it to be enjoyable after having outside coverage like we have when, you know, we're covering the finals and All-Star game back of the worldwide leader of covering Michael and Kobe, Shaquille at his height, and Shaquille every day, and then Dwayne every day. I wanted this so bad to be awesome. And it was. He was present. He was great every single night. He makes everybody else great every single night. I will say this. I miss the 81 playoff game checks that I got in those 4 years. Dan, it was 81 playoff games in 4 years. That was ridiculous. So, and And now I probably would want to encourage him to do this, Stan. I mean, like, there comes a point where you have to
shave it all off.
LeBron James.
Okay, is he painting? How much is he painting his hairline on there?
When you see a hairline, it's painted, Dan. I mean, it's not like I don't know why. I remember when he was younger and I first brought it up. I said, listen, you have to do it in the off season. You have to see how your hair looks. Because you don't want all this meat, you know, all bunched up, looking like a sack of hot dogs. You want to make sure you have a nice tight melon. I got a little something in the back, but you talk about me behind my back, not my face. So
but what if he has a Scottie Pippen head?
Oh, man, that's, you got to find out. I said, that's the first thing. You have to find out if you look good bald. But what doesn't look good is if you're out there with a whole bunch of shellac, black shellac. That's not what you want. Plus, doesn't it come down into your eyes?
It might. It might run down in his eyes. Yeah.
Oh,
but if he was still there, you wouldn't be saying this.
Every day, I would just encourage him that it is a good look. I have a senior in college, a senior in private high school. You can make money with no hair.
He's Jason Jackson, the Miami Heat TV host. And just remember, I'm not here to cheer you.
I'm here to booyah.
Booyah. Great to talk to you, man.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, bud. Jason Jackson. He's one of the funniest guys I've ever been around. He makes me laugh every time. Black shellac for LeBron. I was hoping that the Heat would win a game so I could have Jason on, just for that reason.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Mike in Wisconsin joins us. Hey, Mike, what do you have for me today?
Hey, 6'7", 260.
All right.
Dan, I'm in a bad way, man.
Uh-oh.
I'm driving my U-Haul, and I'm moving my little girl into college.
Are you going to college right now?
Yep.
How emotional are you?
I'm pretty emotional.
Okay. How can I help you?
I don't know. How do I let her go?
Well, you're not letting her go. Your daughter will always be with you. Daughters never leave you, Mike. They never leave you. Okay?
Yep.
Is she there with you?
She's not.
Okay, okay.
She's in her car.
Okay, this is...
What's my thoughts?
Now, you have to be positive. You have to let her know you trust her and have confidence with her. And you can always call me no matter what the issue is, and I'll come see you or call me on the phone. Like, you must let her feel good about this, not that she's going to feel sad. She'll feel sad. But your job, and as hard as it's going to be, is, and I've done this 3 times with 3 daughters, man, it's tough when you drop them off that freshman year, you take them to the dorm, and then you walk back to your car. That's a hell of a long walk there, Mike. So...
Yeah.
Got to be positive, and you got to let her know you're so proud of her, that she is going to school, she worked hard to get there, and you can't wait to come back on Parents Weekend or whenever she wants to come back. That was my advice to me.
Okay, thank you.
But hang in there. How much more driving do you have?
About another 2 hours, 2.5. Just leaving Milwaukee and headed up to Stevens Point.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're going to cry, cry now. And get it out.
I got you guys on the iHeartRadio app, so I'm...
Well, I could always have Todd talk a lot, and then that'll make you feel better about yourself.
The onion story just cracks me up every time, so thank you for that.
Good luck, Mike, okay?
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. You guys haven't experienced that where you're dropping off a daughter. Woo! You know, your son you look at differently. You know, it was like, all right, my son was ready, and my wife couldn't wait to get him out of the car. She always says if she could have kept the car moving, she would have done that to drop him off. We were less emotional with my son. But when I took my daughter, my oldest daughter, to school, even now, it's emotional. Because you're seeing your little girl, and then you're dropping her off at college. And then the next one, 2 years later, I did it. And then the 2 years after that. And it got a little easier, but man, just it hits you of how quick. Everybody tells you this when you have kids. Oh, it's going to go by so quickly. But when you have kids, it doesn't go by quickly. You're like, this is forever. And then it goes by quickly. And the next thing you know, they're saying, hey, I'm looking at schools. Oh, okay. And then it hits you when you take them to school. And then that's when the wave of emotions hits you and you're like, oh my God, it just blew by. Now she's growing into a woman. Whew. All right, let me take a break. I don't want to get emotional. Yes, McLeod.
You're going to be great at your daughter's wedding. Just great. It's going to be a killer speech.
I got three of them that I have to go through. And I've already told them, if you want to elope, I'm okay with it. Like, as long as I don't have to give that speech. And I think what will happen is I might have my son or my nephew deliver the speech as if he was delivering it in my words, but I'll stand there. I just don't know if I could get through. I mean, I got to walk my daughters down the aisle. I don't know if I can get through that. That would be a mess. Like, I can't. I'll be a wreck. I might have to go to a therapist or a psychologist, like somebody who can hype me up, and might have to bring him to the wedding. I mean, I need to have somebody who's like, you got to be tough, man. You got to get out there. You can't cry, you big baby. Come on, let's go. Like, I'm going to need like one of those coaches. Yes, McLeod.
People are going to be like, why is Trevor Moat standing next to Dan?
Why is Russell Wilson's motivational coach out here? I'm going to need that. And I was wondering if there was some kind of medication I could take, like beta blockers or something that would just, or maybe just beer. You know, where I just go, I'm going to have a beer.
You should just accept that you're a crier.
I have.
You're a crier.
I am. But that doesn't mean, like, I don't want to be an emotional boob. And that's what I'm really worried about. It's okay if I'm sniffling or like, now the women are going to love it. I mean, obviously, they're going to fall in love with me. They're going to go, oh my God. Can I pre-tape my speeches? Could I do that?
Yeah, we could get a sponsor, like, you know, AutoZone or, you know, Home Depot. You could get a little sponsor mention.
Yeah, but I'm thinking maybe I pre-tape and then I just I mouth it.
And you just do one speech that's perfect and we'll fill in the name of the next daughter. We'll just plug it in.
Yeah.
Hello, Grace. Welcome to your wedding. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Very proud of you today on your big day.
Yeah. AutoZone brings you the... Yeah, I'm... There's not at least a week that comes up, goes by, that I don't think about when my daughters get married and what that must be like. And if you're a young father out there, and you're probably going, I'm, you know, knee-deep in diapers, and this is... Oh, you know, when's this going to end? And man, when it ends, it hits you so hard, you don't even see it coming.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.